welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hello and happy Friday, everyone. It's Jessica for another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. This is episode 114, and it is already March. How is this year flying by already? How is everybody doing? I hope you've had the best week. I'm really, really excited to chat with you about my topic today, and that is the topic of internet safety. And I don't know about you, but I feel like technology is impacting our kids younger and younger, and as that happens, their awareness is not such where they really understand oftentimes what they're doing, what they're seeing. And as parents, we're not always aware of the many ways they might be getting into trouble online. And we want to make sure that they know that the internet can be a powerful resource and a positive thing as well. But we also need to be smart about it and set a parameter. So today I'm talking with Dr. Tracy Bennett. And Dr. Bennett is a mom of three, a clinical psychologist and a professor at Cal State University, Channel Islands, and she became very passionate about internet safety as her kids started to get older, and she founded the program Get Kids Internet Safe. And so we're going to talk about all about that program today, the epidemic of internet safety issues that she is now treating for in her practice. She has heard it all, seen it all, and she wants parents to be aware of what is out there, because when we hide our heads in the sand and pretend like, oh, that doesn't apply to us, or we would never have that problem in our home, that's usually when you get hammered, right? We say that about a lot of things in life sometimes. Not my family. Well, no one is immune to internet safety issues. Pornography is running rampant, and just different addictions to the internet itself and to screens and technology. We're going to talk all about that, and I'm so excited to hear from her professional opinion how we can help our kids to develop a healthy relationship with technology, with the internet, and how we can even better ourselves in terms of that as well. So I'm really excited to share with you my conversation with Dr. Bennett today. Let's get to it with Tracy. All right, I want to welcome Dr. Tracy Bennett. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm so excited to chat with you. You're in my neck of the woods now. Well, I guess I'm in your neck of the woods. I'm in Camarillo now, so that's great. I'm really liking it here.
Yeah, I'm a long-term resident. I actually went to elementary school here, believe it or not.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Well, very cool. Well, I am so excited to hear about your professional journey and the work that you're doing now, because it's a topic that really pertains to everybody in this day and age, right? It is a different world than the way that our parents raised us and the opportunities and the resources available to us. So, but first, I want to just get to know you a little bit better. You're a mom of three. Tell me a little bit about your background and your motherhood journey.
Okay. I have a 22-year-old daughter who has graduated from college now. And then I also have a 14-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son. Mm-hmm. He's going to be 13 actually next week.
Happy
so
birthday.
So I have officially all teenagers in my house.
Wow.
And that is bittersweet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I love teenagers. I just think they're funny. I love them, but they're harder to raise because they're not as big a fan of us. You know what I mean?
And listening to you.
They don't laugh at my jokes. Want me to drive them places all the time. I'm constantly in a negotiation. So
yes.
My adoring baby is now starting to get ideas of his own. So,
oh man,
I'm in a motherhood crisis as we speak.
That's just real mom talk right there. Exactly.
That's real mom stuff. Yeah. And you know, they're actually the inspiration for Get Kids Internet Safe, because so my 22-year-old was raised with screens too, but that's when social media wasn't big. You know, mm-hmm. All there was Facebook, and she didn't really get into it that much. But my little one, he's had screen media in his hands since he was tiny. You know, because I had two little ones. When I'd take my daughter to all her cheerleading gigs in the high school, I would drag the two little ones along with me, and just sitting on bleachers during basketball, volleyball, and football games was pretty hard on them.
Yeah.
So they had their little digital DSs, and it's just a dramatically different parenting landscape just from 10 years ago, you know, and forget about what it was like when we were little.
Right, exactly. What made you do more research and get more active in trying to promote safety on the internet?
You know, it was kind of a perfect storm of events and a personal crisis. 4 years ago, my dad died, and he lives in Idaho, but he's always been my person. You know, the person that I called when I was proud about something, when I was upset about something, when I was ashamed about something. And so his loss was really hard on me. So while I was grieving him, my stepmother also, she came down with stage 4 cancer. And at the same time, my mother was coming down with dementia very rapidly.
Wow.
And was uncooperative. So I had to, and she only lived a couple miles away from me. So I was struggling to get her into a safe place while managing all this. And one day I was sitting at the computer overwhelmed, and I took a moment to reflect on, you know, if I was everything, if how my life was, you know, how things were going, and mothering has always been my number one priority. And I looked up and I was thinking about my dad and how important he was. And I realized that, you know, my kids, I'd just counted on Minecraft too much. They were in the playroom having a ball, right? Playing Minecraft with each other. But I just wasn't spending any time with them. Hmm. Not like I had always done. And my clinical practice, I've been a clinical psychologist in private practice for 20 years, was exploding in internet crises. You know, I had a 14-year-old who'd been groomed for months by an internet predator. And I had middle schoolers addicted to porn, and cyberbullying was an issue every day. And parents were crying in my office, and I felt like I was holding this secret because nobody was talking about it because they were too ashamed. And I just decided that I needed to do something proactive on the preventative side. So when I was looking for how to keep my home internet safe, I decided to offer it to my clients. And then a friend came to me and said, look, you're doing so much good in Camarillo, you probably need to bring it further out. And so I created the website Get Kids Internet Safe.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And so where does it start? Technology devices are in our kids' hands, like you said, younger and younger. I mean, my 4-year-old, you know, is watching Netflix, you know, on his own, you know, and things like that. And you never know what they're going to stumble upon. And you think, well, I'm raising good kids and they have good values and morals. But it doesn't take away the fact that the internet predators exist, or they can click on the wrong site and then they just go down a rabbit trail, and their friends at school and everything like that. So where do you even start with helping your kids to get internet safe?
Well, I think the first thing you have to do is prioritize what your concerns are. Mm. You know, I have an infographic for all the screen media benefits and how important digital literacy is. And I teach addiction studies at Cal State Channel Islands, and I love what screen media and technology has done to the learning environment. So keeping your kids away from screens is not an option.
Right.
It's important for their success. But I, along with one infographic I have for screen media benefits, I have 3 for screen risks. And they have to do with health risks like time spent on the internet and how it impacts our lives and distracts us from important healthy activities. And then I also have exploitation for profit through technology with things like, you know, cybersecurity issues, violence and pornography, product marketing, and then interpersonal exploitation. And that's, I think, what parents are most afraid of. And that's cyberbullying and predators, desensitization and addiction, those kind of things.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot
so
to consider.
much to keep an eye on, isn't there?
Yeah, and so like you're saying, it's like, what are you most concerned about for the age of your children, for, you know, the types of devices and the reasons that they're online and things like that? Like, what is the most important thing? And so what age do you, I mean, and it's so funny because every time Christmas rolls around, you hear kids younger and younger on their Christmas list. What are they putting on? An iPhone or a tablet or whatever. And it's just getting younger and younger. So, I mean, what do you suggest when your kids are asking at age 6, 7, 8 years old for a device? What do you do?
Well, oh, you know what? There's something important for every age.
Sure.
I would say for infants and toddlers, it would be best if they didn't have screens in their hand, but that's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, parents need a respite and it's too tempting. So I would say for them, keep in mind that content is as important as quantity.
Sure.
So not only keep the minutes down, but if they are going to have screens in their hand, make it interactive media.
Mm.
You know, like talking to grandparents on Skype or appropriate content that's not really fast-paced, intense, you know, flashing lights and lots of noise, because there's some evidence to suggest that that is over-arousing for kids, especially little tiny kids, and it causes autonomic arousal that can be a real problem. It makes them irritable, fatigued, and it can interfere with their emotional development, because we have to teach them how to deal with their emotions and how to have social skills and do that beautiful choreographed dance that we all do with our little ones, because we're wired to do it and we love them so much. But also watch the content.
Well, I don't know about you, but I know that when I was pregnant, I definitely upped the screen time so that I could have a little bit more downtime. But then the consequences of their other children's behavior and the withdrawal of those devices and the tantrums that come, it like blows up in your face. You thought you got a little bit of respite, but then it can really turn negative really quick. That's what I've seen.
Yeah, you know, I talk about that in my presentations, and I show a video of a baby who, when he has a screen, he's super happy, and the minute you take it away, he goes into a
meltdown,
tantrum. And I made a whiteboard video on my Get Kids Internet Safe site that shows parents the difference between a regular tantrum and a screen tantrum.
Oh, interesting.
You know, a regular tantrum is designed to express distress and to get parents to do something. It's they're under kids' control better. They can stop and start them much easier. Those kind of out of control tantrums that we see our kids do when they've been on the screen for a while, or we take it away from them, that is probably due to central nervous system overload.
Wow.
You know, they're just, their dopamine is flushing through that pleasure center in their brain, and they get overstimulated, and coming down off it, like coming off crack cocaine, right?
It's just, yeah, no, seriously, a little
really
4-year-old spinning out of control. Yes. It's
yeah,
crazy.
So, you know, a really easy thing to do is if your kid is, especially boys do it with gaming, if they're having these tantrums and they're having a hard time getting control of them, then they're playing too long at one time. All you have to do, we call it pacing in psychology, is you pull it back a little bit. So if 1 hour of gameplay is resulting in a huge tantrum, then knock it back to 45 minutes and see if it makes a difference.
Mm.
Or demand frequent breaks from the screen so that they get practice transitioning on and off and they give themselves a rest. It's important for their eyes and their shoulders and their arms anyway to get breaks every 20 minutes, because doctors are seeing more and more repetitive movement injuries as a result of too much screen use with kids.
Sure. Wow. Yeah, that's so true. And I could see how that would be helpful. And then another concern is not only the parameters that you put and the safeguards you put within your own home, but then you send your kids off to school and their friends have devices. And you know where I'm going with this. And how do we protect our kids against their exposure from other kids who may not have those same parameters in place?
We can't entirely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, that's just the reality of it. So I think as a community, we all have to take some responsibility. you know, and parents have to be braver, not only teaching their kids really great skills, but also reaching out to other parents and asking those kind of hard, embarrassing questions. You know, like I had a parent ask at a presentation Tuesday, she said, you know, or actually it was a dad. And he said, what do we do, you know, when our kids go to other kids' house? And I said, you know, a great way to approach it without sounding like a total weirdo is saying, at our house, we found this really great router that filters our Wi-Fi, and we found it really helpful, but it made us more aware of content leaks, you know, through screen media. What do you guys do? And do you have any rules around that? Because we worry about it.
Yeah.
And have that conversation. And while you're having the conversation, right, you're sharing resources and sharing tips. And then you're automatically partnered, kind of in the same way that we worry about guns that aren't secure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're of equal threat, in my opinion. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great point. And so did you set up with your kids, and what was your communication like with them if your child did come across something online that was inappropriate or didn't make them feel right? What was that communication like, and what did you tell your kids?
Gosh, I love your question so much. Because, you know, when I started Get Kids Internet Safe, I thought that my most valuable service to parents would be a tech package.
Hmm.
You know, exactly which apps and software to use to filter content and block content and also monitor their use.
Sure.
And that is really valuable. But what's more valuable than that is teaching parents how to connect more effectively with their kids so that they can teach skills and be aware of what's going on virtually, because our kids are increasingly developing virtual selves just like they do non-virtual selves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And their virtual selves live in a whole different community. I mean, when kids get into social media, parents are terribly alarmed at the language that's being used and the subjects that are being talked about and the cruelty that
yes.
happens among even really great kids. And in order to prep your kids for that, number one, I think parents need to get educated, which is why I put enormous resources into writing a blog that delivers to my subscribers every week. It's just a 5-minute read. I try to keep it down to 800 words, but I focus on topics that parents need to know to teach their kids important tasks, like, you know, cyberbullying articles or sex ed articles or current event articles or cybersecurity, like how to protect your kid from child identity theft and what cult and hate groups do to groom kids, mm-hmm. you know, and what to watch out for. So I produce that content for parents for free just so that they could have things to discuss at the dinner table and in the car. And those quiet moments when you're having conversations.
And I think it's important to not only have those conversations after they come up, but before. I mean, imagine if you were able to role play or converse with your child before these things come up so that they're not caught off guard and you're not caught off guard when it comes, because it will come. They will see something online. They will be exposed to cyberbullying. That's just what we're living in now and what our kids are living in. It will happen. So what's going to happen in that critical moment? And we can kind of control that in a way, how it unfolds.
Yeah, maybe I can speak to some of the mistakes parents make.
Sure.
You know, as a psychologist, one of my superpowers is connecting with teens and kids. Like they, you know, for 20 years, I've treated teens and adults. But the teens and kids I'm particularly great with. And one of the ways I do that is I don't lecture them and I don't take over the problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes parents do.
Right.
You know, like we get so upset and so anxious that I'll tell you a story. So when my oldest was in middle school, she was hanging out with this group of kind of mean girls who would shun a different member of the group every day. You know, sometimes it was my daughter. Sometimes it was another kid. They just took turns all the time. And my oldest is the type of kid that comes home and tells me every little thing. So stressful during middle school because I got to where I did not like these kids. Like, I didn't like them. And I would say things to her like, you know, honey, don't, somebody who treats you like that isn't your real friend. They're not your real friend. You need to quit hanging out with her, you know? And I would give her these kind of advice laden lectures. And one day she came home and she's like, you know, Mom, I don't know how you make a living because you have the worst advice I've ever heard. Because here's the thing. If I just sign off that one girl who was being mean to me that day, she hangs out with my five other best friends. And they're not going to quit hanging out with her. So if I quit hanging out with her and say, you're not my friend, then who am I going to hang out with? And there's one of those girls in every group at school.
The ringleader, yep.
Yeah, so she's like, I just have to figure out how to suck it up and survive middle school. And, you know, she was right. And what I do with my clients isn't what I do with my kids, which is go over lots of options for them and listen to their expertise, you know, believe in them, respect that they know what's going on far better than I do, and then support them while they try out the options.
Right.
And validate them that they're wonderful and it's not their fault and that they do have some power over how it goes down and how to exercise that power in a respectful, compassionate way.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you pointed out, like, you're the one trained in this. You're telling your clients one thing, and still it's hard to implement in your own home. And sometimes I feel exactly like that too. Here I have a mom podcast, and I'm, you know, a proponent of peaceful parenting and not yelling and, you know, routines and all these things. And sometimes it just all goes down the toilet, you know? And I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm a hypocrite. But no, we're all just doing the best we can. We just have to realize it is harder to do than just to say. But the more we try, the better we'll get at that.
Exactly. And these kind of tips, these strategies, make an enormous difference. You know,
yeah.
Like I tell my clients that parenting is, especially digital parenting, let's talk about digital parenting specifically, should be done like a funnel, you know, not an upside down funnel. So what we usually do is kids ask for their first digital device at Christmas or their birthday, and they get it, and then they load 8,000 apps on. And before you know it, you feel super stupid and intimidated. So you just leave the digital device to your kid to manage because it's overwhelming and exhausting, right?
Yep.
And then you take stuff away as it becomes a problem. And that's a real issue because, number one, they get into way more dangerous situations that way. But even more important than that, when you're yanking stuff away all the time, it damages the parent-child alliance, our best tool, our most powerful tool to raise healthy kids, especially with technology. So a better way is to be really restrictive. Like, start with, don't introduce screens until they really want it and they're able to manage it. And then once they get a screen, allow an app or a game at a time. You know, that way, and let them know that it's probationary, that at first, you know, you're going to kind of monitor and make sure that it's the right fit right now. And if it isn't, you may have to either take it away or delay it for a while. But it's probationary based on their behavior, but also the characteristics of the task. And then slowly build up into a wider funnel where they get more and more independence, less blocking, less monitoring. So by the time they're 16 or 17, they're almost totally on their own under your roof, right? Just like we do other things.
Right.
So that when they go out to college, they have skills and they're not going to blow back and come back home.
And I think you're totally right. That you're setting them up for success when you do that. So you're gradually introducing things and they're building their trust with you. They're earning that. And then they don't want to blow it. You know, but if they just like are at a free for all, of course they're going to fail because you're setting them up that way. And so it's our job as parents to create a path that does allow them to thrive with these devices and everything and have them have the enjoyment of it, like you said.
Yeah, and the psychology research shows very clearly that if you give kids chores and you give them some independence and opportunity to fail, and you help them through the failures that they do far better than if you shut them down and take over completely, which is authoritarian parenting, or you're too permissive and give them whatever they want, which is permissive parenting. Authoritative parenting is staying connected, demanding respect, right? And accountability and giving them those opportunities to do that. You know, one of my favorite things to do with my kids, and they're horrified by it, but it's awesome, so I'll share it.
Good.
I once had a little boy in my office, and he was bugging his mom for a game, and she was like, I know, I'll get to it. I need to research it. I need to look at Common Sense Media, which is a great site, you know, to figure out the rating and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, why are you doing all the research? He's the one who wants it. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know what? If he wants it that much, why doesn't he demonstrate that to you? Have him do a persuasive PowerPoint. The pros from the game, the cons, what kind of parental controls are available, and get him to persuade you why he's ready.
Hmm.
If he doesn't want it that bad, he won't do it and you're off the hook. If he wants it badly, right?
He will have done your work.
Research for you. And he takes accountability for the choice. And so I started doing that with my kids, right? And my daughter, my middle daughter, she's a super animal lover, 4-H kid. And her first persuasive PowerPoint was on goats. Like she wanted a goat.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, no, we don't want goats. We have dogs and cats and everything else. We're not getting goats. And she made this amazing PowerPoint with little baby goats in pajamas. And she made a budget for how much it would cost to build a pen and do food. And then she separated us because she knows we're stronger together. So she purposely showed it to us separately. And we watched these amazing and at the end of it, we said, absolutely not, no goats. And then 2 months later, she had goats.
Totally... The power of persuasion, effective persuasion.
Yes. And then I make him do it with games and apps too. And my son, he's just not so willing to go through the trouble. So I'm like, do a persuasive PowerPoint if you want it badly enough. And he'll only do it if he really wants something.
Yeah.
And it has just taken out all that extra pollution.
That's amazing. Right? I think that's a great, just give him a little extra hurdle to overcome. And then, that'll be the barrier to entry. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, and it teaches them great skills, right?
For
sure. You want persuasive, manipulative, digital literate kids.
Yes.
So why not give them
that? That is a great idea.
All that stuff at once.
That is such a great idea. Well, you also alluded to the fact that in addition to the communication and the connection part of the kids, there's also resources that you can put into place that will help to protect your whole family. We're not just talking about kids. There are more and more adults that are just held captive by internet addiction, pornography, predators, online affair, you know, all those types of things. It is devastating to families. And so we want to protect all of us. And so I am curious, though, for your research and what you've come across, what is reasonable to think that our kids are being exposed to things like pornography?
Oh, you don't even want to know. The youngest.
Ugh.
As soon as they're on screens, they're at risk for being exposed.
Yeah.
I'll
and we have
that.
To be realistic about that.
As soon as they know how to type into a browser, they're at risk for searching.
Yeah.
Because kids, like I had one kid, one of my articles, it's one of the early ones, one of my little kids with autistic spectrum disorder, he was obsessed with dragons, and he put dragon in his browser, and he ended up in a sadomasochistic sex site.
Oh, all right.
And got, became preoccupied with it. And
wow.
It just became an alarming problem very, very quickly. So,
right.
So you
it
really
starts,
need to have child-safe browsers right from the beginning.
Okay, so what does that look like? So what does that mean? Where can we go for these resources?
Okay, so one child-safe browser. So I have a whole tech play kit on my 30-day parenting course.
Okay. So this is going to getkidsinternetsafe.com. If we go to your website, we can have all the links and everything. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So getkidsinternetsafe.com. My first product is called a Quick Start Kit, and it's kind of a freebie. It's like $7 for a 20-minute video, and that goes over home staging.
Okay.
Like really important things like how to set up a home docking station and to have location parameters like no bedrooms, no bathrooms right from the beginning. Because little kids might not get into trouble with that at the beginning, but they will. So if you start those rules right away, then kids live by them and they don't even question them.
Sure.
If you wait to implement them until they're 13, then you're going to have a lot of pushback.
Mm.
And by then it's probably too late anyway, because they get into trouble long before parents think.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Quick Start Kit is where to start. And then I have a 30-day to internet parenting course. And that's the one that has like all the best tech tools. I call it my GKIS tech playlist mm-hmm. or playbook. And it offers a lot of free apps and software and also paid apps and software based on what kind of kids you have, what age they're at, and what concerns you have.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, like a child-safe browser for little teeny ones, a free one is Leap Search. You know, you can download Leap Search and limit what access they have, mm-hmm. you know, and, mm-hmm. and Google Kids and YouTube Kids, you know, those aren't perfect. They're, things will get through, but it's a great start
sure.
along with parental controls.
Yeah, I love
that. And then
that.
For older kids, monitoring is really important. I think I've been offered TeenSafe, the founder of TeenSafe. It's one of the most intrusive monitoring programs, actually, because you load it and it actually tracks or it allows you to look at your kids' texts, including deleted texts and several social media apps. And it also has a button. You can turn their phone off right away, like if they're not responding back to you. Like you turn the phone off and all it will do is call, and then they have to call you back, then you can turn it back on.
Oh.
Or if they have homework to do or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, so TeenSafe I was using with my family already, and then I started offering it for my parenting courses. And so the founder contacted me and said, you know, tell me about your use with TeenSafe. And I said, I think it's great as long as you tell your kid you're using it.
Yeah.
Like I'm not in favor of spyware.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it go wrong lots and lots of times in my practice, which I doubt we have time for that story, but you know, parents who spy and then tell their kids and then their kids are furious and angry and it damages the relationship. But if you tell them, like my kids know, like anything that goes on your phone, any text, any social media post, I have access to. So just think before you do it. It's not like I sit there and read everything they
yeah.
do because that would make me crazy. But I have full access and I check on occasion and they know I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
just... And they should, because other parents are accessing it, and other teachers, and other people in the community. So I'm teaching them to have that awareness before they post something really stupid and the principal calls, or, you know, the police call, God forbid, which does happen.
Well, totally.
If parents aren't monitoring.
Well, and kids are not thinking about long-term consequences, like getting a job eventually. So your high school senior that is applying to colleges... That college and those admissions reps, they have access to Googling or Facebooking your child, and they will see the character of your child and future employers. They're not thinking about these things, but you are as a parent. So you need to make your kids aware of those long-term consequences, that anything that goes out into the interweb will stay there, and it doesn't just get deleted because they deleted it.
Right, and that stuff could work for you, too.
No,
I did
totally.
A presentation with the National Charity League with teen girls the other day. And I taught them how to make social media profiles that are attractive to college application counselors
that.
And employers.
That's great.
You know,
great.
Because these days, adults, sometimes you'll lose a job if you don't have a LinkedIn account or if you don't have a good digital footprint. So you have to kind of groom those footprints to make them look really great and reflect your very best characteristics, not your worst.
Right, and not focusing just on the negative. Like you said, you keep bringing it back to the positive, which I just love, Tracy. So it's helping your kids to see that they're not just being restricted from media, maybe more than their friends, whose parents may not be as diligent about this, but helping them to understand, we're building trust here. I want you to understand the power of what you're holding in your hands and what you're viewing. And I trust you enough to be able to build good character and good knowledge through these resources. Right? And then they're going to have great outcomes in the end. And they may not understand that completely at the time, but you can help them try to understand a little bit piece by piece.
Well, and you know, like with little ones, they praise off or they thrive off positive reinforcement and they don't do as well with consequences and punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Teenagers are just like that too. So if you give them the opportunity to do great things, you can say to them, I'm so impressed with the judgment you use online.
Yeah.
You know, I see what the other teenagers are doing and it's really rough. And I know you're making your mistakes and I know you do stupid things once in a while and I forgive you for that because I love you and you're supposed to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate the effort you're putting in to be a good citizen, you know, to love and protect yourself, your family, your friends, and those who are more vulnerable than you are.
Absolutely.
You know, that's my family's values. And mm-hmm. it gives me an opportunity to really talk values with them in a way that they can take in. You know, because at the beginning you said, when do you start talking to them? I sprinkle in information constantly. You know, right. I started sex ed talk when they were little tiny and just with discretion based on the age they are. So I didn't have to face this daunting sit down birds and bees talk that made sure. us both miserable.
Sure.
You know, they just know I talk really openly and then they can come talk to me about stuff. There's no awkward silences or weird pressured lectures.
Sure.
You know, it's just little facts thrown in here and there. And another great thing about screen media is you can share that stuff. You know, you can bring each other videos and talk about what information you came across. Because our kids are getting educated online, whether we do it with them or not.
Sure.
And you really want to be the person that can tell them what's accurate and what isn't, and what's appropriate and what isn't, and yeah. what true intimacy is and what isn't.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, we could just talk forever and we could go down a lot of different paths, and maybe we will have to have you back because I think this is such critical information. And I know that you'll agree with me when I say we also as moms have to be a good example for our kids as stewards of the technology as well. You know, if we are addicted, and I mean, I definitely fall in this category a lot of days and need to do better and constantly have intention to set more parameters on myself. And after this talk, it really has me thinking even more about that. But if we're on our phones all the time, if we are, you know, conversing more via text message than actual face-to-face conversation, like that is what our kids will know as the norm. And so we have to be that role model.
Absolutely. You know, my 12-year-old, he's going to be 13 next week. I wouldn't let him get his first smartphone. I always tell parents, don't allow new digital media in transition, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we give it to them during the summer right before they start school, and then they're obsessed with their screen, their new device mm-hmm. or their new activity, and then it messes up their grade. So I said, you know, in middle school you get your first smartphone, but it's after the first semester I get your grades. If your grades are good, you've earned it. Then you've made your transition into middle school with all those teachers and all those expectations, and you can do that. So he has it. He's super into it. And this is the first time I let him get Musical.ly too, because I hear all the scary stories in my office, even about something as harmless as Musical.ly. Mm. So when he gets in the car, he has to put his phone in the cup holder. You know, they're not allowed to have the phone during short drives because that's the time we interact.
Sure.
And if they're on their phones, we won't talk.
Yeah.
And it's the same when parents are on our phones.
Like, yes.
You know, I'm not so self-righteous as to say I'm the perfect mom. I've never pretended to be. In fact, you teach what you most need to learn. I love tech. Obviously, Get Kids Internet Safe has me online all the time because I have my social media profiles that I have to maintain for that website. But I have gotten really committed to taking tech vacations where I'll go a whole weekend without ever looking at social media at all. And I also introduced No Tech Tuesday and No Tech Thursday with my kids when they're really little. And on those days, they're not allowed screens, not TV, not computer, not handheld devices, nothing. And those are the days they complained about being bored and they got into fights and they climbed trees and broke arms and got coyote bones and all the stuff that we did when we were little that makes me a little more confident that they've achieved a balance in their lives, that
sure.
they can survive with screens or without screens because I've forced them to create those skills.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you online so they can get additional information, because this is just like scratching the surface of internet safety. So tell them everywhere they can find you.
Okay. I'm at getkidsinternetsafe.com. I also have a Get Kids Internet Safe Facebook page. If you guys could go like it, that'd be great. I always forget to mention that.
Great.
The Quick Start Kit, you can go directly to it at getkidsinternetsafe.com/quickstartkit, or you can access it on my website. And I would say the most important thing is on my website, there's a little box where you put your email address for a free article, the three things you can do to get your kids internet safe. if you put your email in there, then you get an article delivered every week. And if it's not for you, you can unsubscribe. I don't sell or give away emails. I keep it only for me, just so parents can get free info.
That's amazing.
Prevents problems instead of ending up in my office.
That's great. And like you said, it's short little 800 words or less snippets where it's just like bite-sized pieces of how to help your family and your family culture. I think that's amazing. I love, love, love the work you're doing, Tracy. I think this is, you clearly found your niche, and I know it's helping so many families. So thank you for sharing all these great tips to help get us started. But now we can dig in deeper on your site.
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
So I know that's a lot of information to take in, and we are just scratching the surface on internet safety, but I feel like that's a great place to start, to think about how often do your kids have devices? How readily are they getting new apps? What is the relationship and communication you have like with your kids when it comes to technology and devices and interactions with other kids and their devices at school? We need to be aware of what is out there. We need to be aware that kids are seeing pornography younger and younger, and that if they come to us saying that they found something online and they stumbled across it, or that they saw something at school that didn't make them feel good, they need to know that they can come to us safely and that we are not going to flip our lid. They're not going to get in trouble, but that will just open up the conversation between them to have a healthy relationship about dealing with these very real issues. So thanks, Tracy, for the work that you're doing. Go to her website, getkidsinternetsafe.com, and you can see all of her resources and articles. And I just signed up for the newsletter as well, so I can get those weekly tidbits about how to keep my home internet safe. And all the links to Tracy and her social media things are going to be on my website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 or on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I think I want to do a Facebook Live about this because I think this is a really important conversation to have with all of you. So let's do that. Let's do a Facebook Live. We'll do it Monday, March 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. Hop on Facebook Live, go to Extraordinary Moms Podcast page on there. Make sure that you like it. And then I think you can click notifications or something to make sure that you know that I'm live. But if you hop on over to the page, you can watch me live and you can interact. You can ask your questions. You can share your insights from this interview and tell me about things that we can bounce ideas off of each other. And I think it's just a really important conversation to have. So head over to Facebook Live for the Extraordinary Moms Podcast page on Monday, March 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific. And I'd love to chat with you there about internet safety. So thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. We have a lot of great episodes coming up this month, and I'm so, so excited to share them with you. First of all, we're having Erin Lochner. She's the author of Chasing Slow. That's coming out next week. I have been obsessed with Erin as I've been hearing her on tons of different podcasts lately. Maybe she's been on your radar too. But she is an amazing mom of two, and she is also someone that's just a proponent of living your best life. So it's not about minimalism or slowing down to the point where you don't even recognize your life anymore. It's not about living super fast either. It's about living your best life. So I'm super excited about that. I'm also going to have Clean Mama. Becky is the founder behind that, and she's going to talk about organizing and cleaning your house and living in a more beautiful space. We're also talking with Katie Richardson of Pudge. She is such a delight. You're going to love her energy and talking about motherhood and business and how she juggles all that she has going on. She's amazing. So we have a couple other episodes as well that we're still ironing out the details to. But for now, that's what I'm giving you. Have an awesome week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. If you love it, please share it with a friend. Show them how to listen to a podcast in the first place. That means so much. And thanks always for your ratings and reviews on iTunes. Have an awesome week, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye.